hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love! What...
Hello, this is Anil Kumar at Back to the Bible radio broadcast. As we near the end of our current series in Proverbs, Skillful Living, Dr. Neufeld tackles the issue of sexual sin. So let's begin as we turn to Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 to 27 for our message on winning the war against sexual sin. In our generation, sexual sin is so pervasive that is an issue that in some way it impacts all of us. Too often, Christians have come to the temptation around them enticed by a worldview that glorifies sex for all the wrong reasons. We must become aware of our propensity to fall, and the wisdom in Proverbs helps us to tackle this problem head on. When we come back, Dr. John concludes our study by offering hope and counsel in the war against sexual sin. Just before we begin today, Dr. Neufeld, you are known around the world for expositional Bible teaching. Could you tell us what that means and why it is so important to the believer?
Yeah, thank you for that question. You know, expositional Bible teaching means that the Bible teacher actually has two jobs. The first is to understand the Bible as it was originally written, what it meant to the people that first heard it. So that is to understand the Bible in its historic context. The second job of the expositional preacher is to take that ancient book and apply it to our lives today, to help someone listening to know exactly what God is saying to them and how to apply it to their own lives.
Thank you, Dr. John. Now let's get back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
If you're struggling with sexual sin, tell your boyfriend or girlfriend, "I'm so weak, I can't see you past 6 o'clock in the evening. Wisdom teaches me that darkness is my enemy." See, never go into each other's bedroom. It's enemy territory. Let's say you're prone to internet pornography. You've got to say to yourself, "I will never go online with no one else around." Why? It's enemy territory. Let's say you visited prostitutes. Now you know that there are certain parts of town that you're never permitted to go because it's enemy territory. Listen to me. Every time you stray into enemy territory, you lose. Get that through your head, Bubba. So if you fall into sin, tell the truth. Say, "I deliberately went into the arena where I know that sin always wins. From now on, I will flee the enemy's territory." Principle number 4, be aware of deceptive tactics. I'm reading verses 10 to 14. "And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, 'I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows.'" I want you to notice how the adulterous woman speaks to this young man. If she went out to sacrifice, she has food left over to be eaten at home. And she says, "Come and join me in eating." In that, she gives the impression that she's spiritual, she sacrifices, and now she must eat, and she invites him to come. Now to verse 15. "So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you." Now, do you believe that? Listen, this woman will go with anyone. She is shameless, oversexed, and underdressed. She's high on hormones and low on ethics. But she says to the young man, "I'm just for you," and it plays to his ego. It's deception. He means nothing to her. She will go with anyone. He's just dumb enough to be available, but the illusion plays in his head. Verses 16 and 17. "I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." Now she appeals to his sensuality. She's trying to give him a mental picture of what's waiting. Imagine what it's like. And so she inflames his mind with sensuality. His mind is now imagining the scene. Verses 19 to 20. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. Here now is her last deception. There will be no consequences. We will never be found out. I call this the Las Vegas approach. Whatever happens in Vegas will always stay in Vegas. So with his ego inflamed and his mind imagining that something much greater than what is, and with the assurance that people get away with this kind of thing all the time, he's destroyed. So what should this young man have done? Well, the most basic principle is to realize that he's being deceived. The enemy of our souls wants to portray sexual sin as sweet and delicious, and if engaged in with discretion, will leave us without regret. What is needed is to counter this massive deception with truth, with light, with wisdom, with the commands of God. Remember that Proverbs 7 is a father imparting wisdom to his son, and the father, having told his son of this sexual encounter of this simple young man with an adulterous woman, comes to some pretty telling conclusions. Here's the fifth principle of winning the war against sexual sin. Stop believing the lie and start believing two essential truths. Here they are. Get an internal picture of what sexual sin really entails. Let's read verses 21 to 23. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into the snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now, because I'm from a farm background, I mean, I can picture this first image. You know how you get an animal to the slaughterhouse? Well, you calm it, you soothe it, and you pat it, and you speak in gentle tones to it. And with a bit of work, you can lead it willingly to its death. Now imagine that you're that animal, and sin is soothing you, speaking to your ego, giving you pictures of sexual pleasure, having you imagine a world free of consequences. This is how we should picture our sexual temptations, for that is a true and accurate picture. But how is sexual sin leading us to the slaughter? See, in his book on sexual purity, Randy Alcorn imagines what it would be like for him if he had committed adultery. He imagines explaining it to his deeply hurt and wounded wife. He imagines explaining it to his angry children who want to know how he could have betrayed their mother. He imagines how his reputation would suffer, and then he realizes that there are those who will never trust him again. He imagines Satan doing high fives with the demons in hell to his ruin. That's the slaughterhouse. I want you to imagine your own list and picture what sexual sin could do to you. Now here's the second reality picture. The second reality picture realizes the temptress for who she really is. Let's read verses 24 to 27. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim has she lain low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. I want you to imagine one of those horror movies where a beautiful woman is just some alien's facade. And as soon as the alien sheds the body, out pops this horrible and deadly creature. You shudder and think how beautiful, enticing, and yet how disgusting and awful. Now let's move from that picture to the one presented here. The house of the adulterous woman is not what it appeared to be. Remember, the young man was promised a bed covered with Egyptian linens and perfumes. But it turns out that was a facade. Like the old movie screen, a stage, a setup, it's not the real thing. The bed was the doorway that leads to the lake of fire that burns forever. You pull the blankets aside, and instead of finding a soft mattress, you find a hellish abyss filled with the slain who groan and writhe in everlasting torment. The adulterous woman is in fact not a sexy woman who thinks you're a hunk. She's in fact a mighty predator who knows how easy it is to kill you. She has slain multitudes. Single-handedly, she has vanquished one politician after another. Spies have told state secrets to her and brought down nations. Teachers and lawyers have been disgraced by her power, and pastors who were entrusted with the Word of God are among her dead, and so are entire churches. Because disillusioned followers of Jesus have concluded that there was nothing to the faith when their leaders have ended in her merciless arms. Her accomplishments are legendary in the Demon's Hall of Fame. No one is as powerful and as successful as she is. Even powerful dictators have failed to inflict the damage that she has accomplished for the gates of hell. See, this address has attempted to do several things. I've sought to demonize sexual sin so that we no longer view it as a small thing. I've sought to give ammunition so that you can decide to win the war in advance. But I also wish to reach out to the fallen and to declare that Christ is a much greater warrior than sexual immorality. Those who have been won by the great liberating love of the cross are freed from the grasp of tyranny. You can lift up your head, you can be freed from sin's grasp, and you can be productive in Christ's service. Do not despair. Put your hope in Christ's redeeming love. Meditate on these words from 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, and be hopeful. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
John, a great study. It's upfront, real truth of God. But you know, sometimes we are very quick to judge those outside of the church for their sexual exploits, their sinfulness, not as quick to look inside. A powerful and convicting message today, and how every believer can win the war against sexual sin. There has been some great reminders here of the seriousness of the issue and within the church. Single, married, in a relationship, no one is immune from this struggle. And there is no ultimate hope for the battle without godly wisdom to help us to defeat it. Wherever you are in your walk with God, I hope this message has spoken to you in a profound way. For God can redeem us from all of our sins, past, present, and future. Be sure to listen as Dr. Neufeld wraps up this series, Skillful Living, in the book of Proverbs. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God.
This cornerstone, this solid ground.